Hirschfield have been thinking about all year. Can you top that, Harry Hirschfield?
Right.
How about you, Senator Ford?
I really don't know.
And you, Joe Lurie Jr.?
Well, maybe.
These guys who can kneel you into stitches bring you another session of Can You Top This? And now for the man who lays down the law so you can pick out the chips. Ward Wilson.
Thank you, Charles Stark. Can You Top This is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing. Anyone can send in a joke, and if your joke is told by the well-known actor and storyteller Peter Donald, you get $10. Each of the three wits try to top it with another joke on the same subject. Each time they fail to top you, you get $5 more, so you have a chance to win as much as $25.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
You ready?
Ready.
I guess so.
Three readies, one a little vague. Well, here's the first joke this evening. Comes from Technical Sergeant and Mrs. Gerald M. Fernie of Tacoma, Washington. And it's on the subject of panhandler. Panhandler. So, Pete, you put the bite on us and we'll see what happens from there.
Well, this is about a very, very wealthy man. Always loaded with money. Even the water on his knee was Chanel number 5. I mean, this just awful, awful wealthy, but very stingy. Very stingy guy. And one day he's walking along Fifth Avenue in all his finest clothes and wearing his chinchilla toupee and all this kind of stuff. And up came Willie the Weasel, a well-known panhandler.
He said, "Hey, buddy, could you spare 25 cents for a room tonight?"
So the stingy guy says, "No, I couldn't."
He says, no 25 cents, huh? Well, then have you got a dime for a ham sandwich?
So he says, "No, I haven't got a dime for a ham sandwich."
He says, gee, it's tough. "You got a nickel for a cup of coffee?"
He says, "No, I haven't got a nickel for a cup of coffee."
He says, "You ain't got no quarter for a room, no dime for a ham sandwich, no nickel for a cup of coffee." He says, "Buddy, we better go into partnership. You're as big a bum as I am."
Well, you weren't much of a bum on that one, Pete.
1,000 on the lap meter.
Automatically sending the 25 to Technical Sergeant and Mrs. Fernie and putting our three wits out strictly for laughs. The upraising of hands looked like Harry Hirschfield first.
Well, first I want to toss a quickie in. There are a lot of panhandler and beggar stories. But there was a beggar, bow-legged as the deuce. Oh, terribly bow-legged. One says, "Did you ever see such a bow-legged beggar?" Other one said, "He used to be on horseback, but a black market butcher stole his horse." There was a big wedding. There's a big wedding. Oh, there's a tremendous wedding in a hall. And the groom was looking around the place, and he sees one guy eating away to beat the band. Oh, boy, he's eating, and he looks at him. The guy needs a shave. He's dirty looking, no clothes and anything. And the groom walks over to him and says, "Just a minute. Did you get an invitation to come here?"
"Said, no."
"Are you a friend of mine?" The groom
said, "No."
"Are you a friend of the bride?"
Said, "No."
Says, "Well, you got a nerve of panhandling here. Mooch in here. Come on." He took him out and he kicked the life out of him, knocked his teeth out, smashed his eye, knocked him down the stairs. When he got down there bleeding, the panhandler got himself a cop. And he grabbed this groom, took him right to the station house. They told the story before the judge, and the judge listened carefully to the testimony, and he turned to this panhandler. He says, "Is it true that you came in there without an invitation?" And he asked you if you had an invitation, and you said no. And asked you if you were a friend of the groom, so you said no, and you're a friend of the bride, said no. And he kicked you down the stairs and beat you up and knocked your teeth out. He said, "Yes." He said, "You got any witnesses?" He said, "Yeah. The six guys that I invited."
Up. 1,000 on the last meter, Ward.
Up 6, 7, and 8 en route there.
Well, it's
finally made the grade.
Counts.
And the the preface got 700, too. However, it ties Mr. and Mrs. Fernie's 1,000, but doesn't top it, needless to say. And, Joe, we better hear from you.
I got a very short one to put in. Pete reminded me of it. About a fellow gets up to a guy on the street. He says, "Give me $100, will you, buddy?" He says, "What's the idea of asking for $100? He says, "I'm putting all my bags in one asking." The one I want to tell is about a fellow comes home. He comes home, and right on the doorstep in front of his house is a fella, beggar there, and he's always yelling, he's hollering, always yelling and hollering, and his wife is right over the beggar. So she says, What happened here? What's the matter? So she says, "What's the matter? The man rang the bell. I opened the door. And he says to me, "Lady, will you please give me a bite?" So I bit him.
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
So far we have a perfect round, Senator.
And you know, I can go back that far, too, with one of those gags. I'll throw in one, too. I had enough time to think of four or five. A panhandler knocked at a farmhouse door, and a hatchet-faced woman answered. And she said, "Are you here again? Aren't you one of the three men I gave a pie last week?" He said, "Yes, lady, but I'm the sole survivor." Pete's kind of reminded me of one. A panhandler on the street asked me for a handout, and I thought I'd give him a lecture. Being Ford, I'd give him a lecture instead of a dime, you know. So I said, "What's the matter with you? Why don't you get wise to yourself? Look at you. You sleep on park benches. You're hungry. You're tatted. You're tired. Why don't you go to work?" He said, "Go to work? For what? To support a bum like me?"
1,000 on the laugh meter.
Well, the facts and figures on that round are perfect, as a matter of fact. Everybody got 1,000.
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor.
Now back to the contest of wit and humor. Here's a joke which was sent in by Miss Evelyn Lilberg of DeKalb, Illinois. And the subject of this joke, if your wives are listening, I imagine they'll be interested, conversation. So, Peter Donald, suppose we talk it over.
This is a very, very intelligent joke now. This is... If you don't laugh at this one, it just proves how ignorant you are. This is very, very highbrow, this joke. Seems that an investigator went to a state sanatorium. He was looking around to see what the conditions were. And while he's walking around the grounds, he saw an old man sitting under a tree. So he sat down next to the old man. He said, "Good evening, sir." And the old man said,
"Good evening. You're a stranger here, ain't you?"
He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I'm a visitor here. Are you a visitor?"
He said, "No, sonny, I'm an inmate of the sanitarium."
"Well," he said, "that's too bad. I'm sorry. You didn't look like one."
"Well," he says, "I really shouldn't be one, but I'm the victim of circumstances. See, my family, they coveted all the property I had, so they pretended that I was insane, and they had me sent up here, and I've been here for years now, and I'm perfectly sane. If only the truth were known, I'm doing a great scientific work. Something very important. It's an undertaking that has taken me years and years, and if it's ever done and completed, it'll make my name famous throughout the English-speaking world. Now, that shows you that I am sane."
The fellow said, "Well, you certainly sound like a sane man." He says, "What is this great work you're doing?"
He says, "What is it? I am compiling a complete index of Webster's Dictionary."
On the last meter, Ward.
There was a brief pause at 800 on the... So you're in for Miss Lilberg with an automatic 25 and putting our three wits out for strictly laughs once again. And the first upraised hand, I think, belongs to Joe Laurie.
I got a real short one. But this fella trying to read his paper at home. And his wife is one of those yada, 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 yada gals, you know. Yeah, you know, at the club. And gabbing. He's turning his paper and looking at her, and he... Finally, he says, "I'm reading in the paper here about the zoo here, about the giraffe up in the zoo." She says, "What about the giraffe in the zoo? What about the giraffe in the zoo?" So it says here it has a tongue 18 inches long. She says, "A tongue 18 inches long?" She says, "Yeah, ain't you jealous?"
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
And so far, we haven't hit anything but that, except on a couple of prefaces. And, Senator, I think your hand was raised second.
Yeah, well, Pete's story involved two people talking, and Joe's involved too. I have one with three carrying on conversation. It seems that one evening, three florists lapped up four roses like $5 worth of blue blotters, and then they decided to take a ride on the top of Fifth Avenue bus to get some air. So they climbed up to the top of the bus. They had ridden about two blocks when the first one said, "It's windy." Second one said, "Tain't Wednesday, it's Thursday." The third one said, "I'm Thursday too. Let's get off and get a drink."
Well, you don't need to be thirsty about that one, Senator.
1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Keep keeping the round intact at 1,000 for the second time, and Harry and your cigar, you're invited in.
This is pretty recent. Yesterday, the Circus Saints and Sinners gave one of the greatest luncheons I ever saw to General Eisenhower. And at that luncheon, ex-Governor Hoffman and Colonel Hoffman told this story. He told about a goof soldier, and he sees a lot of fellas going into a sort of a headquarters, and he wanted to see what was going on there, and he was stopped by the sentry. And the sentry says, "Who goes there?" He says, "General Eisenhower." So they got together and they beat the life out of him and knocked his teeth out. It was an awful sight. So he got back to the camp, to his tent, and they said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I saw a lot of fellas going in there." He said, "And I said to myself, I'd like to go in there too." And the fellow says, sentry said, "Who goes there?" And I said, "General Eisenhower." And they beat me up something awful. The guy says, "Certainly. Why didn't you tell him your own name?" He said, "What? If they could do that to Eisenhower, can you imagine what they'd done to me?"
Well, I suppose he did have a conversation, Harry, after
all. Well, anything is conversation.
Well, that's what I have to accede to.
1,000 on the last meet award.
Did you define conversation to me? Certainly not what you're saying to me.
Harry, we only have a half-hour program. Here's our next one, however, and we'll see what happens with a joke from We the Patients. That's a group up at the Will Rogers Memorial Hospital in Saranac Lake, New York. And the subject of this round is courtship. Courtship. So, Pete, hope you wind up happily wed to this one.
Well, it's about a very, very nervous suitor. He'd been calling on this girl about 3 times a week for over 6 months, and he'd never mentioned marriage at all, never mentioned getting engaged. And one evening they were seated on the porch swing, and they were very nervous, and he was shaking, and she was shaking. And it was kind of a shame they didn't have a pair of dice with them. They were wasting so much energy, and they're kind of looking at each other, and finally she blinked her big blue eyes, and she says,
"Oh, Gregory."
He said, "Yeah."
He says, "It's so romantic tonight. Say something soft."
He says, "Custard pudding." Long pause, nothing again. Finally, he says, "Fanny, I've been calling on you for over 6 months, and I like you an awful lot, and I want to say something."
He says, "Oh, Gregory, you're giving me pheasant pimples." Ooh.
She says, "Well, I want to ask you a very important question."
She says, "Oh, Gregory, this is so sudden. What is it?"
He says, "What I want to ask you is, would you please let me know what date you and your mother have decided on for our wedding day?"
You better brush that off slightly, Pete. I think you dropped something somewhere en route.
The laugh meter says 550 on that one, Ward.
Pete is now kicking it away from the stand. Well, for the first time this evening, it looks like we, the patients, are a little out of luck because our three wits have plenty of latitude. So let's see. On the subject of courtship, who's the first to volunteer? Harry, looks like you again.
Well, I have a screwball gag if there ever was one. There was a fellow calling on a girl and never had a chance to kiss her because little Tommy would stay in the room. And he didn't know what to do, so he figured out a scheme. He says to her, "You know what I'll do? I'll put him on my shoulders and run around the room with him, and he won't know what's going on below him. And as I'm running around, every time I come around the room, I'll kiss you." See? So he put the kid on his shoulders, and he started running around with the kid, and as he came around, he'd give her a kiss. And he pounced around again with the kid, and turned around, give her another kiss. And he pounced again around, and the kid hit that wall. The kid hollered, "Ow! Ouch! With your fancy lovemaking, you'll make for me a cripple."
$1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Topping it by 450, as a matter of fact. They still have their original 10, though. Anybody going to try and duck under this? Joe, I think your hand was raised second.
Talking about courtship, I got one about a dope, too. By the way, we the patients up in Saranac have a lot of great ex-actors and still actors and great troopers up there. Send my regards to them. But the one I want to tell is about this guy. Comes in all bandaged up. All his face is all bandaged, and his hands and his legs and everything. Fellow says, "What happened to you? What happened?" He says, "What happened to me? It was to my girl's house last night." He says, "And we were sitting in the parlor," he says, "and I asked her to marry me." She said, "Yes." Just then her old man come in. I said to the old man, "I want to marry your daughter." And he looked at me, and he punched me in the eyes, blackened my eyes and broke my nose, then kicked me in the leg. He says, "Then her brother came in. And her father told the brother that I want to marry the daughter. And he
put me on the ground and kicked me in the stomach, broke my leg, broke my arms, and everything else. He says, what did you do? He says, what did I do? I left. I'm no dope. I can take a hint.
$1,000 on the lap meter.
Once again, Topping, we the patients, $5.50. The $10 is still intact. And, Senator, so far you haven't been in this route.
Well, I had another gag, but as long as these fellas are selling dope gags, I don't see any reason why I shouldn't. Up in my hometown, there's a fellow by the name of Dismal Underdunk. Well, Dismal, the best way to describe Dismal is he's an old Mortimer Snurd. And for about 12 years, every evening he would visit the Widow Brown and sit in the parlor. For 12 years he did this every evening. Finally, Aki Pop said to him, he says, hey, Dismal, why don't you marry the Widow Brown? Dismal said, well, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about marrying her. But if I did, where would I spend my evenings?
Well, it finally made the grade on 1,000, Senator, eking up there 8, 9, and 10. And you remember the one that you were going to tell before?
Mm.
You want to tell that one now?
No, why? I got 1,000 on that one. Why should I tell him?
Well, I don't blame you.
I'm ruining my record.
More fun, more jokes coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
Gene Greenfield of Long Island City, Long Island, New York, and it's on the subject of annoyance.
Annoyance. So, Pete, I'm sure you won't make any pets out of your son as far as Miss Greenfield's concerned. Let's find out. Well, the lady was out shopping for presents, and she walked into a very, very swanky store, and the floor walker said, yes, madam, may I have the unequivocally attributable honor of Miss Greenfield, all good part of the shop, and as we are all cataclysmic, I'll be a supposed to put it on. Go ahead. The woman looked at him.
What did you say?
Don't speak English like me. What's the matter? Oh, it's a matter, because I'm only trying to say, may I help you anyway?
How would you say the weather,
Jill?
I want to buy a pair of snappy gloves.
What would
you recommend?
Well, he said we have the latest time here. How about the nice coffee colored gloves?
She said, that's
all right,
but about
calling on it. She said, I told you they're coffee colored gloves.
She said, you couldn't be any more specific about the color.
He said, my dear man, if they're coffee-colored gloves, they must be the color of coffee.
He said, yeah. But how can I tell that you said your coffee be done without cream?
$1,000 on a happy award rate after the faithful Miss Greenfield. That automatically gives her the 25th. Third time tonight that that's happened. Our three wizards are once again just out for laughs. And this, Senator, I think your head was raised first.
Well,
you now are buying all the drugs for him. He says, listen, when he goes out now, will he get pneumonia? 1,000 on lap, Mr.
So, once again, we have a perfect crowd going, Joe, and it's up to you and the boy.
Well, I got that arrest, sir. It's a funny way to employ them. He says, bring me some chopped liver. He says, I like it. So salty. He says, so, I like it. Finally, bring me some chicken. Wait about 20 minutes for him. Bring him the chicken. Salty, he says, no good. He says, what's the matter? He says, the chicken is cold. He said, what do you expect? It's been dead 3 days.
Well, that seemed to be a live one, Joe.
1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Giving us a perfect round for the third time this evening. But no matter what happens, be sure and join Tanya's office again next week. Same time, same gang. On a joke, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better last.
Ward,
Harrier, Shield, Eric, Peter, Donald, Ward, Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.